Hello, and welcome to Community Conversations. Community Conversations is a series of recorded interviews lasting 30 to 40 minutes and played here on KRFY 88.5 FM at 8 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This interim show is a temporary alternative to the KRFY morning show. We will bring you topics of current interest, highlighting voices from our community. Please bear with us for any pauses or glitches caused by internet or Zoom connections. And finally, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that it is broadcast. This is your Community Conversations host, Julie Palamine, and I am joined by a very special and exciting co-host this week, Ms. Susie Prez. Hello, Susie.
Well, good morning, Julie, and thanks for inviting me to sit in on this because I have a great interest in the subject today. Also, I want to remind the listeners that if you don't get to hear the whole podcast, we will have it on our website at krfy.org after the airing of the show.
Yes, great reminder, Susie. Thank you. With that, I'd like to introduce today's guests and our topic. We're going to be visiting with two folks from East Bonner County Library to talk about operations and protocols during the COVID pandemic. Our guests this morning are Judy Myers, a library trustee. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Julie and Susie.
Great to have you. And Kimber Glidden. Kimber is the Youth Services Coordinator. Hello, Kimber.
Hello, Julie. Good morning, Susan.
Great to have you. So welcome to you both, Judy and Kimber. And if you would, please tell us a bit about yourselves, how you came to be involved with the library and the work that you do there. Go ahead, Kimber.
Okay. Well, I'm relatively new to North Idaho, moved here 3 years ago from Alaska. And I know, big move. Nice weather here. I know everybody says it's cold, but it's not true. And anyway, I was not really looking to go back to work full time, but I can only clean a house so much, and there was a part-time position available at the library, and I did have some library experience back in Alaska. I had worked as an evening librarian in Soldotna and sat on the library council for the city of Kenai, and so I thought, what a fun opportunity to get connected to the community. And anyway, so in October of 2017, I started part-time at the library, and the rest is history. Here I am as the Youth Services Coordinator, which is a position that I love, 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 and full-time.
And how was it that you were chosen for Youth Services? I imagine you've got kids or just enjoy working with youth.
So actually a combination of all of those things, Julie. Between my husband and I, we have 7 children and 4 grandchildren. We were foster parents in Alaska, and I absolutely love the youth. And I had a father recently at the library ask me, well, which group do you like working with better, the little ones or the teens? Because I started out as the teen coordinator and moved into youth services when the library put them all back under the same department. And I didn't have a good answer for him. I love the enthusiasm of the little people, how everything is a new adventure. But I love the energy that the teenagers bring. And I know a lot of people think that they have all this drama, and they do. But they're figuring it out, and they're on the verge of being the next us. And that is magical to watch.
And what better place to figure it out than a library? Thank you for doing that job, Kimber. And Judy Myers, your work is a bit different because you are on the board of trustees with the library. Tell us about that and how you came to be there.
I couldn't remember when I started, but many years ago, I volunteered to be a literacy tutor. We have an amazing tutoring department at the library for all kinds of things. I'll just put a shout out to Mike Bauer and all that the library has to offer through that, even and virtually as well. So I helped teach a 48-year-old man to read, and that experience was so positive. That was so exciting. And then that helped me get to know the library staff and kind of what goes on in the background of the library, and it was exciting. So one day I came in to tutor, and there was notice posted on the door that there was an opening for a board position. So I got appointed first time, and then I ran successfully for a position, and I'm in the middle of a 6-year term now. So
wonderful.
Thank you for your service, Judy. Board members play a key role in things like the library, and with 2020 has both been an unusual year for the library, for all of us, with the COVID pandemic, and from a complete shutdown when the pandemic hit, to opening back up to another shutdown of the main building. So offering library services during this pandemic is challenging, to say the least. What was the approach the Board of Trustees and the administration used to make new policy? So I guess this is direct to Judy, since you're on the board, Judy.
Well, thank you. It has been quite a process. And I had to think back to the day in mid-March when the board met. Seems like an eternity ago. The pandemic was hitting. The governor had issued a shutdown order. So there were lots of things going on. So the library initially shut down in mid-March. That was our timeline. Then April went by, and then in the middle of May, we started to discuss how to reopen. And that led to a lot of discussion and information gathering, of course. We consulted with the Idaho Commission for Libraries. Several of us attended a webinar with the American Library Association. We got guidance from our own attorney, from the state attorney general, guidance from epidemiologists at Panhandle Health and the CDC. Of course, like everybody else, we were watching the news. And then the five of us trustees all have various backgrounds. I spent 20 years as a nurse, most of it in ICUs, and then 15 years teaching other nurses in the WSU College of Nursing in Spokane. So all of us brought our own experience. All of us gathered as much information as we could, and that led to our reopening gradually. We did a soft reopening, as you may remember, with curbside delivery, and then we did a soft reopening again of the building itself. We gathered books in the book drops, quarantined them for 72 hours, etc. So as we learn more about this virus, our policies and procedures hopefully are reflecting that science and data in how we safely reopen the library. So, and then, of course, unfortunately, this last week, on the 29th, we had the protesters storm the library, and that led to another step we had to take to keep our patrons and the staff safe. So now we're back to curbside delivery.
When you were looking at the what the library could or couldn't do during the initial stages of the closure for the state and how you slowly opened back up with the curbside services, what were some of the biggest challenges to keep your number one priority on the table, which is probably, I'm guessing, safety for all concerned from the virus? So what were some of the biggest challenges in looking at protocol for these different levels of opening back up?
Yes, absolutely, Susie. Thank you. Yeah, that is our thing. We so much want to open up, but we have to keep everybody safe at the same time. Well, one of the challenges is just that new information about this virus is coming all the time. So, you know, how its virulence, the contagion on flat surfaces or not, how long it's viable on plastic versus paper, all of that stuff is hard information to get, and it changes as we learn more about this virus. So am I answering your question, Susie? Is yeah, the hardest thing is having enough information. And then in addition to that, now one of the big challenges posed is different belief systems in a minority of the community. I do want to stress that we have received overwhelmingly support for our requirement for masks. And we started out calling them face coverings, but when people show up with crocheted doilies over their noses, then we have to tighten that up a bit, which we're working on now with a lot of guidance from people, from experts. And so though the vast majority understand these protocols benefit the health of the community, we have this minority that make it unsafe for patrons and staff inside the building.
Which is why you've closed at this time, and I understand that. Kimber, you're in the day-to-day at the library working full-time, and I have a note here about the steps that were taken while the library was still open to patrons, and it looks like there were a number of items, glass shields. Why don't you tell us about those?
Sure, Julie. So prior to opening to the public, we did go through and implement some things. When we first shut down in March, our janitorial staff went through and did a very thorough deep clean and disinfection of the entire library. And then while we were closed to the public, they went through, they put up the plexiglass face shields, a cleaning and disinfecting schedule was implemented for when we did reopen or when we had staff back in the building to make sure that we could be as clean as we could. We're required to wear the masks. We were offering we did the soft reopen for the curbside service. People could make an appointment to pick up their items. Then at that point, the staff would bring them out, set them there. So it was that no contact delivery. And then we did go through the library and put, you know, the social distancing, like the little footprints that you'll see around. And we do encourage that. And then again, when we did reopen to the public, we were limiting the number of people in the building to only 50 at one time to assure that there was, that the social distancing was happening as we had hoped. So,
yeah, excellent. And I want to be sure we have time to talk about what is going on at the library. So I'm going to kind of wrap up the protocols. I think we've got a good understanding of what was happening there. But before I move on to that, I would like to ask Judy one more brief question. And that's, Judy, what do you know about other libraries in the region? Are they doing similar things? What's happening?
Yes, they are doing similar things. There is a variation on the theme. The Spokane City and the Spokane Valley, Spokane County libraries are curbside delivery only. Their buildings are also closed. I want to emphasize to say the library is not closed. The building is closed. The library is open as much as we can. So I want to stress that. The Coeur d'Alene City Library is open normal hours. They have a mask requirement, and that's part of the, because they're in Kootenai County, they are following the mandate of the public health department there, Panhandle Public Health Department. I talked with John Hartung yesterday, who's the director of the Community Library District. They have the 7 branches, places like Post Falls, Hayden, Shoshone County. All of their staff wear masks. They have their buildings open, but they'll do curbside on request for people who don't feel safe coming into the building. They are also having the problem of their staff members subject to verbal abuse. But he also stressed that the vast majority of all of the patrons across that community library district are fine with it. And this is their quote, because they understand the health benefits to the community.
Yeah, very good. Good to know. So it's not really very much different throughout our region. Lots of careful handling of books and either a mask requirement or a mask suggestion. I'd like to move on, though, because even with the closure of the main library, there is still so much that the library has to offer. So let's talk about that. That's the good part, the hope.
That is the hopeful part. So some of the fun things like we've talked about is we do have curbside service that is available. And unlike prior when we had limited hours and reservations requirement, now we don't. The library is delivering that curbside service to our patrons regular library hours. So that is something that people can look at. You can call the library and make requests. If you have questions, go online as well. So there is staff in the building that's working to help people. The other thing that we have is we still have interlibrary loan services. So if something's not available to you, we're still doing that service. We've expanded our internet provider service. We had one of our local companies come in. They kind of souped us up a little bit. So we should have much stronger internet connection from that front parking lot. So if you need internet service and you have your own device, you can still connect there. Our IT manager, Gina, has added 10 additional Wi-Fi hotspots that can be checked out to the patrons as well. So those are some really great things. We have a huge digital library available. So if you go to the ebonnercounty.org website and click on digital library, there are so many resources available there, both educational and entertainment. We've expanded ebooks and e-audiobooks on our OverDrive. So there's all of that that's available. And then because we've had to close down our in-person programming, we've done some fun things for especially the youth. One is, I call them discovery kits. So they're kind of like a STEAM kit. So, you know, science, technology, engineering, art, and math kits that the kiddos can check out. So some is circuitry, some are robotics, some are Lego kits. So we've got a whole bunch of those fun things. You just type in kits in the catalog, and it'll give you a whole list of those fun things. And we're adding more all the time. We've got some owl pellets that are coming here soon. So those will be a fun science kit. And there's, I know, like, and they will be linked to some videos as well to go through and dissect those. So we've got some fun things like that. And then we got permission from some publishers to continue online story times. We had to stop that for a little bit because of copyright issues, but some of our publishers have given permission through the end of the year to use their stories. So we're going to be bringing back on our YouTube channel the online story times. And I'm also going to be putting together craft kits that parents can come and check out at the curbside delivery. They'll just be able to take those craft kits that will correlate with our little YouTube online story time. So still lots of stuff and ways to access the library, even with the doors being closed.
Well, I have to say one thing, this is Susie, that the COVID time that we're experiencing has made people become very creative. So you've got some creative ways of doing the library and still keeping people engaged. And when you're talking about the digital library, I know that they have a program called Mango where you can learn to any language, it seems like, almost. So it's a good time to learn a new language. And good job there, Kimber, on keeping the kids involved with the discovery kit and all of the different innovative things that you've come up with, which is pretty challenging. But now we want to probably get to the question of the tests that have come up. Is that right, Julie? You want to go there? The protests that have come up over the requirement for to wear a mask inside of the library. And Judy, when you were talking about other libraries, I'm wondering also, have they had the kind of protests that our library experienced last week with that requirement down in Kootenai, especially where there's quite a large contingency of voices. But again, we want to keep in mind these are a minority because we know that most people are very happy to stay healthy. So what is the current situation? What happened? Just take us through it, either Judy or Kimber.
Well, let Kimber start. Kimber, were you there that day?
I was actually only there for part of that day. So we did know that there was going to be a protest. We didn't know how it was going to form out. But when the protest actually hit, no, I was not there. I was at the dentist She smiled.
a painful experience of another sort. Okay.
Exactly. But I did see the video, and you know, we did have a bit of a debriefing at the library about what happened. And I can talk just a bit about it, which is, I think it's really important for the Sandpoint community, East Bonner County, to understand that this was predominantly organized by a group out of Seattle. And a huge number of the people who actually attended were from, is it Brundy or Bundy, Idaho? So about 10 hours away from here. We only had a couple of our actual patrons that we could identify that were in that group. And we do understand that, you know, people are concerned about civil liberties, and we very much respect that. That's something that I think people need to be concerned with. Possibly in the library, though, when we're in the middle of a global health issue, might not be the best place to make people feel threatened and unsafe. And like Judy said, we have had such an outpouring of support from the community. It has been so overwhelmingly in support of masks and keeping everybody safe, because we have had exposure at the library. There have been patrons who've come in and they've said, oh, we've had COVID and our family's in quarantine. We're just here to get books. And yeah, and you know, and then there has been staff exposure. So we just have to be very cautious. And you know, to me, it's like, let's err on that side of caution and health and safety for all of the members of our community.
Thanks, Kimber. Well done. Yeah, I do think that we need to point out this was not a local spontaneous thing at all. This was quite organized. They had videographers there. I happened to be there a week earlier when a woman came in with two boys, and Ann Nichols, our director, graciously, as she always does, tried to de-escalate, tried to escort the woman out. The woman was on her phone the whole time, and it looked very staged. And you just kind of eyebrows went up, like, what does this mean for us? And then the next week we found out. And so, other libraries have not experienced this sort of organized public Facebook show, but they're getting it on an individual basis, as our staff had to deal with also previously, one or two a day. So that's it was a different show.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we've heard about what happened, and then the Board of Trustees had to decide how to respond, and you responded by closing the main library, and that's our current position. And do you have any idea for how long we'll remain in that sort of holding pattern? Any do you have any information about what will happen next?
No. It would be very helpful if someone came with the crystal ball. We would appreciate that very much. We are having our next board meeting Monday, August 10th at 4:30. That will be via Zoom. And the public notice has gone out, and that link will be available for people to come and make public comments. So we do hope to keep control of that meeting and be able to get the business of the library done. But no, we have not, we don't have we don't know when we will be able to safely reopen.
Just going back a little bit to the legality of having the requirement for a mask, I'm pretty sure I heard that the library had legal counsel before they made that requirement. And just to reiterate, is that true? That it is legal for the library to require patrons and staff to wear masks?
Absolutely. We check that out thoroughly before we, on several levels, in several ways before we went. And the bottom line is, Amy Flint, our director, has put this out in a letter. The board, according to Idaho code, the board of trustees has the responsibility of setting the operating structure, the operating policy for the building. So the board of trustees takes on that responsibility, takes it very seriously, and that's our legal authority to require masks.
Well, very good. I thank you for taking that responsibility, Judy. It's a difficult time to be a trustee at the library, and I appreciate your work. Moving on, we'll wait and see what happens with the main library, and as I've already mentioned, so thankful for all of the services available at the library. As we start to conclude the interview, let's try and bring this back to the positive side of things. That's a temporary negative, of course, a protest, but there are possibly some positive outcomes of a time like this. Maybe learning new skills and new ways to connect with people remotely. Shall we speak to that for a moment?
I have a couple ideas, and then I'll turn that over to Kimber. But I want to think, like all public services, the police, the healthcare workers, the teachers, all public services, are no longer taken for granted.
So. Very much so. Just one thing I would like to say that I think is really neat. When you look at the positives of, you know, an online format, to me, it seems like the opportunity for so many more people to attend. I know that now that a lot of our meetings have gone online, and if there was conflicting meetings, I can go back and watch a recording. So I actually can participate in so many more things than I could if I had to do everything in person. And so I think that there's an opportunity for that same sort of thing at the library. You want to attend a program and you can't, you're at work, but you can watch a recording of it later. So it's really awesome actually to look at it from that standpoint.
And Judy,
I have one other truly positive outcome that the public is going to enjoy, is that during this time that the library building has been closed, our library has been open and going full steam behind the scenes. And one of the things that's happened is the library staff has been doing all sorts of training sessions, so that we are able to provide many more services. Our staff is really geared up and ready to go. So as people wear masks and we stamp down this virus and the economy starts to recover, we will have job seekers and small business people coming to the library, and they'll have staff ready to help them.
Fantastic. Well, Kimber and Judy, that's, you know, Kimber Glidden and Judy Meyer, we want to thank you for joining us today, because, you know, we love our library. It's probably one of the best things in Bonner County. It's the best library in the world to me. So thank you for all your hard work, and thank you for giving us a little insight into how the library is doing and the mask requirements and the hard work that you're doing to keep us all safe and our library viable and alive. And I just want to thank the KRFY listeners and supporters for listening. And remember, Community Conversations is every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. You can tune in to 88.5 KRFY. And we appreciate your listening. And please enjoy the rest of the day with music from Otto's Eclectic Mix. Thank you, gals. Thanks, Julie, for letting me sit in today.
Thank you, KRFY.
Yes, thank you so much, ladies. Have a great day.
All right, and everyone have a great week. This has been KRFY Community Conversations.